At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David. Because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go on, out, or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." This is the word of the Lord.
So when I was a little kid, I got to go to the dentist every 6 months. And I hated it. But when the cleaning was done and or the polishing with whatever wonderful bubble gum or grape flavor the dentist had, or the cavity was filled, and I finally got out of the chair, I got to pick something out of the treasure chest. I don't remember what was in the treasure chest. I'm sure it was something that was absolutely invaluable. But it almost made the visit okay. When we look at this scripture that Gail just read, we see that God appeared to Solomon in a dream when he was at Gibeon. And God pretty much just opened the treasure chest of heaven. And he said to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Think about that. You get to pick anything you want out of the treasure chest of heaven. What would it be? Money, power, fame, revenge, all your enemies defeated, a long life. "Ask," God said, "what shall I give you?" And here's Solomon, a young king. In fact, there are scholars that think that he wasn't much older than 20. And now here he is, set to rule God's chosen people. And this text is set in the midst of a time that's incredibly festive, because a whole bunch of Israel has gone to Gibeon to celebrate the inauguration of Solomon as king. And you know, it would have been really easy for Solomon to kind of do this to his brothers, to rub it in their faces, "Ha ha, Dad chose me, I'm the king and you're not." It would have been really easy for him to do, "Look at me." But that's not what Solomon did. I mean, when you think about his life, at this point, he was already in a pretty good place. He was young. He was good looking. He'd inherited his father's fortune. To be king was a great and grand and glorious thing. I mean, he was kind of at the pinnacle of things at a very young age. And now God says to him, "Pick what you want, and I will give it to you." But what Solomon does is kind of puzzling to us on a human level. Because how many of us would like the fame, the fortune, the not ever having to work again, those kinds of things. But Solomon instead says this. He tells God that he's like a child, that he doesn't yet know how to go out or come in. What he's really saying to God is, "I'm not sure how to lead yet, or if we want to put it into vernacular today, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, God. And so he asks for wisdom. He asks for a discerning heart, an obedient heart, a listening heart, if you will. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, keep in mind, Solomon is now the king over God's holy nation, the same nation that was led by Abraham, by Moses, by Joshua, by Samuel, by David. Those are big sandals to fill. And what Solomon asks for pleases God. And God said, done. I will make you a king unlike any other. There's never been anybody like you. There's never going to be anybody else like you to come. And oh, by the way, we're having a deal today. Since you picked wisdom, you get everything else too. Because the thing is, what people ask for reveals what they really desire. And what people really desire depends on how they envision their life's calling, what they see themselves doing, which then begs the question, how do I live? How do you live? Solomon grew up in David's royal household. I would venture to guess he led a pretty privileged life. He didn't want for anything. He had a father who was faithful to God, and his life's calling was to succeed his father as king. Where does that leave us? What about us? How do you live? How do I live? Because I'd be willing to bet if your name isn't Charles or William, that most of us aren't real close to succession in terms of who the next king is. So how will you live? What do you see as your life's calling? What is it that God is calling you to do? And the thing is, I encounter all kinds of people. And there's some people that I encounter that look at life as nothing more than double toil and trouble. Their glass isn't even close to half empty. They live kind of a, oh, poor, pitiful me existence. And they're miserable, which means the people around them are miserable. And I talk to these people, and they live to survive the week, so they can hide away from the world on the weekend. And many of them have no hope, and they don't know peace. And they're at a point where not only do they not want to change, but they don't have it in them to do that. And then there's other folks that I encounter. And these folks are given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to change, to make a difference, to grow, and to do something. But it's almost as though they're afraid of being successful. And so they get this close to being successful, and then they set themselves up to fail. And their life's calling becomes this kind of a gray existence where they have a series of jobs that are menial and meaningless because they're not willing to take another step farther. And then there's folks that don't necessarily want to hide from the world, but they're somewhat rudderless. And they just kind of amble their way through life. There's no real direction and nothing really drives them. And oftentimes their lives lack meaning and they lack purpose. And then there's others who can't wait for the day to start, and they're full of energy and they're focused, and sometimes they drive the people around them absolutely nuts. Those folks live out loud. They have a purpose and a focus and a path, and they know where they're going and they know what they're going to do. All those folks I've seen this morning, and so have you. Because let me share something with you. Here's the deal. This is the only life we have. this side of heaven. It's a gift. Every single day we have is a gift. Every single one of them. This isn't a dress rehearsal. This is our life here. It's the real thing. And the thing about Solomon is that he knew the stakes were high. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he could not do what it was that God was asking him to do. He knew that he didn't have it within him to live up to the potential that God had given him. And so he asked, "Show me, God. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. What about you? What is God calling you to do?" What Solomon faced was daunting. I mean, to be that young and to be king. What's daunting for us? What is it that makes us look at life and some of us are afraid of life and some of us are afraid of not living? Where do you fall in that? I mean, think about it. There isn't one of us here that knows how many days we have. But how awful would it be to get to the end of our days and the thought that's in our mind is, if only. If only I had made the most of what I was given. If only I had tried to mend that broken relationship. If only I had lived life to the fullest. If I had told that person that I loved them. If only I had had the courage to share my faith. If only I had asked God to lead and guide me. How do we live? Because heaven's treasure chest is open. What will you choose? If God comes to you and says, "Tell me what I should give you," what will you choose? Maybe you'll choose having a heart for the lost, or wanting the ability to be able to share the good news with folks that live at places like the Changing Lives Center or the Phoenix Rescue Mission. Maybe the thing that we pull out of that treasure chest is investing in the lives of children and of youth. Maybe what strikes you as you look into that treasure chest is the desire to grow in your faith and to grow closer to God. Or maybe, just maybe, what we ask for is to be able to live in the will of God, to be able to live right smack dab in the middle of what it is that God has for us, and to do it faithfully and to do it without fear. Maybe what you ask for is that God would help you be the spiritual head of your house. That you would be the one that leads in matters of faith, whether it's spouse or parents or children. And that all of you would then grow together. There's all kinds of things in heaven's treasure chest. Would it be peace? Would it be the ability to be an encourager? The gift of helping somebody? Might it be that some of us simply ask for the courage to share the good news with someone we love because they don't yet know? Emily and I spent the weekend with junior high kids, and they're all going to come back wearing this same shirt. And I guarantee you that there will be kids from that group that wear these shirts to school tomorrow. And I also guarantee that their friends will go, "What? What does that mean?" And we've spent the weekend talking about what it means to live out loud. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the volume is cranked up. It means that God stirs here. And we act. And we act boldly and fearlessly. These kids are going to say, "This is how I choose to live my life out loud in Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed." What will you ask for from the treasure chest of heaven? I mean, are we content to just live quiet, nondescript lives? Lives that people don't even see? Are we content with just moving through the days, doing the minimum that we need to get by? Because if we look into that treasure chest, if we look and we don't take anything, or we take something that serves only us, what might we miss out on? What blessings might we miss out on? What opportunities might pass us by? And who might not get to hear the word of God if they don't hear it from us? Lots of people have excuses. I hear lots of them too. Some people have excuses for everything, of why they can't do this or why they can't do that. And there's some people that have a negative response for absolutely anything you might suggest to them. Some people say, well, I didn't really have a good role model growing up. And others are still blaming their parents for something happened years ago. We didn't have the opportunities that everybody else did. And to that I say, so what? Find somebody you admire, somebody that you look up to. Ask them to be your mentor. Use them as your role model. And for those of us that have long passed youth and are still blaming parents, grandparents, or aunts or uncles, what would your life look like if you took responsibility for your own actions? We've got choices. We can wallow in this pit of, oh, woe is me, poor pitiful me. Or we can reach into the treasure chest and see what adventure God has for us. And I'm here to tell you that it will be an adventure. Solomon could have said, I can't do this. Nobody showed me how. He could have said, you know what? I am too young. Nobody's going to listen to me. Instead, he said, help me be the leader that you want me to be. He knew that he couldn't do that without God's help. Neither can we. I want to share a story with you. A lot of times we take kids and youth on retreat or we go to camp, and I stand up here and I ask that you pray. And I'm really serious when I tell you that we covet your prayers. And for some people, that's the gift that they've pulled out of that treasure chest. And so last Sunday I asked, will you pray? And many in the first service and some of you at the second service here took kids' names. This is what happens when you pray. 3 years ago, Bobby Schaefer brought a friend to confirmation. And we have kids that bring friends all the time. And sometimes they stay for a week or sometimes they stay for two. And Bobby's friend stayed. He's in high school. And at the beginning of this year, we said to him, you know, since you're in high school, if you want to go with the high school kids rather than stay with us junior high folks, you know, please feel free. And he said, no, I started this. I'm going to finish it. I want to be confirmed. Okay. And so Friday we loaded up and we left, and every free moment we had, I saw this young man buried in his Bible. And he had his highlighters out and he's asking questions. And yesterday after lunch, he came up to me and he's kind of shuffling his feet and he says, you know, Pastor Matt, I've never been baptized. I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it. What it means. And why now? Why do you want to talk about it now? Because everything came together for me this weekend. Now it makes sense. And I said, well, that's awesome. Do you want to do this on Sunday morning? No. Not that you're scary. But this young man lives in Mesa, and it's a long drive, and he comes on Wednesdays. And he's engaged then. And I said, well, we're having a soiree on Wednesday with our students and our prayer partners and parents. And we've got a guest speaker and we could do it then. Okay. And he walked away. And then he came back and he said, I don't want to do it then. Okay. I want to do it here. This is my community. These are the people I know. And I said, well, what about your mom? Don't you think she might want to? Here, use my phone, call her. And she said, go ahead, just make sure somebody records it. So last night, after we had shared communion and after we had blessed our eighth graders and prayed over them, because now they move on into high school, this young man stood in front of his peers and he professed his faith. And I said to the students that were sitting there, here's the thing, when we baptize somebody, we have sponsors. That's you guys. Are you willing to walk with him and help him grow and encourage him and pray for him? Yeah, we want to do that. And so there we stood, this young man and I, and his group leader holding the basin of water. And we baptized him. And I don't know where the water stopped and the tears started. That's what happens when people pray. That's what happens when people are willing to reach into a treasure chest and say, I don't know what you got planned for me, but I'm up for the challenge. How are you going to live? Because we weren't put here. We weren't given this life to just skate, to just do the bare minimum, just like the Israelites of Solomon's day, just like the people in the early church. You and I are called to live out loud. We are called to make his name known in the world. We are called to live into his will, whatever that looks like, to shine light in the midst of darkness. And he will help us do that if we're willing to ask. But who misses out if we say no? Everybody. Everybody misses out if we say no. Everybody misses out if we walk by the treasure chest and go, yeah, I don't think so. Or if we take something and we stick it in the back of the closet. Everybody misses out. Think about it. If Solomon had said, I can't do this, pick somebody else, we wouldn't have the book of Proverbs. We wouldn't have in Scripture the example of a wise and godly king. We have this one life. What are you going to do with it? Are we going to spend it wisely? Are we going to fritter it away? And if you're afraid of the latter, there's always time to reach into the treasure chest. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter whether you think God hasn't given you any gifts. That's not true. It doesn't matter that you think, I'm really nervous about this. Guess what? So am I. What will you do? Because we just have this one life to live. And if God has given us the abilities, if he's given us the opportunities, who's going to miss out if we don't reach into that treasure box and see what he has for us? Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, never ever did you say that following you would be easy. Never ever did you say, I've got something for you to do, good luck. You've called us, God, just like that young man last night. You've named us and claimed us as your very own. You've gifted us with abilities and talents. Sometimes it's scary to use them. Sometimes fear overtakes us because we aren't quite sure what the outcome might be if we just live our lives and abandon in your will. I thank you, God, for the folks that are here today. They maybe think I'm a broken record, and that's okay. But you didn't call us to a life of timidity, God. You called us to a bold life, an out loud life. a life that brings you honor and glory and praise. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning for courage for each one of us. Courage to ask. Courage to reach into that treasure chest of yours and see what you have for us. Courage to trust that whatever that looks like, you're going to go with us. That you will equip us. That you will go before us and behind us and hem us in. I stand in awe of you, God, of the things that you do and the way that your Spirit moves when we invite him in. And I give you thanks that we get to be a part of that. And I just ask, Lord God, that you use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.